Judges chapter 6. I want to look this morning at a couple of verses in chapter 6 and then go over and look at several verses in chapter 7. The Lord's people are a people that are saved entirely by the grace of God. Entirely by the power of God. Entirely by the wisdom of God. And this power and this wisdom is manifest and brought about and really is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God. He came forth to do for sinners what we could not do for ourselves. And He came forth to glorify, to magnify the triune God of glory. He is the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, come forth in human flesh. And whenever He calls His child, when the Spirit of God quickens and makes us alive, He makes us to be empty vessels, broken vessels, that He fills Himself so that all our power, all our wisdom becomes Christ. Our food is the gospel of Christ, wherein we were called and saved. And all our power, all our ammunition, all our weapon is the gospel. It's what we go forth with. I want us to see something about this. In the book of Judges, every time throughout the book of Judges that the children of Israel would feel as though they didn't need the word of the Lord would turn them over, and they would cry out to the Lord, and the Lord would save them by sending them forth judges, saviors, preachers, prophets. And that's what had just happened here. The Lord is about to call Gideon to deliver them. And in Judges 6:8 it says, "The Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Now that's how this work of grace is brought about. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, verse 11 says, "And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Now here's the first thing we see, is God uses weak and foolish things. And by that, the scripture means sinners. He uses base things, just foolish things. Now look at verse 12. "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now listen to Gideon's reply. He doesn't answer, "If the Lord be with me." Now listen to how he answers. He counts himself a sinner right along with all the other children of Israel. Verse 13, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." The Lord had spoken through this messenger, and he said, "The Lord's with thee." But Gideon said, "If the Lord be with us." He counted himself right there amongst them, right there as a sinner in need of the mercy of God, right with the rest of his brethren. And then the Lord speaks to him again, verse 14. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." Now he says, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." Have not I sent thee? And listen to Gideon's response. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. You see how Gideon saw himself? Gideon saw himself as a sinner right there in desperate need with his brethren. He saw himself as poor. He saw himself as the least in his father's house. Gideon's a man who has no confidence in self. His trust is not in his flesh. His trust is not in his wisdom. His trust is not in his works. His trust is not in his righteousness. He asked this messenger of the Lord, where's the promise of God? I want the word of God's what I'm looking for. The promise of God. His power to save. That's what he said he was looking for. That's a gift of God. We don't have this in us by nature, but that's the gift of God. To be not a mighty I, but a powerless us. That's what Gideon was. You remember Moses? Moses said unto the Lord, I'm slow of speech. I'm not eloquent. He said, neither since you've spoken to me. And the Lord said, who made man's mouth? Who made the deaf? And who made the blind? And who made the seeing? Have not I the Lord? Now he said, therefore, go. And I'll teach you what to say. I'll put my words in your mouth. Look at 1 Samuel, just to your right there. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Jesse's sons, they were all older and taller and not too pretty, and they looked real experienced. But listen to this description of David. He's just the opposite. 1 Samuel 16:12. And he sent and brought David in. Now he was ruddy and of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. Well, now that's something in our day that we think, well, now that would be the kind of man that could really be useful in the kingdom of God. But turn over one page to 1 Samuel 17:42 and listen to how Goliath regarded David, that big mighty giant. That big mighty warrior. 1 Samuel 17:42. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. You see that he disdained him. Jeremiah, he said, Lord, I'm a child. He said, I can't speak. And the Lord said, don't say to me, I'm a child. The Lord said, thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched his mouth, and he said, I've put my words in your mouth. And he said, now you go forth and you speak what I tell you to speak. And this is what the Lord said he was going to do with him. With a word. He said, I'm going to set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. All that with somebody that said, I can't even speak, Lord. All that with a word. That word's the gospel. That word is the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. It's the message of how God saves sinners entirely of Himself, by Himself, through Himself, without the aid or the additions or anything that a man thinks will work to attract and to save folks. Now, the strength of the servant. It's not us. It's the Lord who calls him. Watch this now, back in Judges 6:14. Look at what the Lord had said to Gideon. The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." And this is the might God was talking about. "Have not I sent thee?" I've sent thee. Gideon's might and his valor. He said, "Thou mighty man of valor." That's a description of every believer. That's a description of you and I who've been called by God's grace, who are witnesses to God and to His Christ. Mighty men of valor. Full of wisdom. But here's what it is. It's twofold. Gideon didn't see anything in himself. And he didn't see himself having any ability or any wisdom that he needed to go forth and do what God was calling him to go forth and do. That was the first way he was a mighty man of valor. He didn't have any strength in himself. When we think we're strong, we are absolutely weak. When we think we're wise, we're totally ignorant. And when we're totally weak, and that means just without strength, that's when we're strong. And when we have no wisdom, that's when we've got wisdom. Because it's of God. And that was the second thing that made him a mighty man of valor. The Lord said, "I've sent you. I'm doing this. I've chosen you. I've called you. I'm sending you." And verse 16, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." There were millions of Midianites. We're talking about millions of enemies. Do you know how many enemies the child of God has in this earth? Untold. We don't have a clue how many enemies we have in this world. We don't have a clue with the constant enemy we face every hour in this earth. It'd scare us to death if we knew what we're wrestling against. Truly. But this, the Lord says, "I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite them as one man." Like one man smote them all. Now that's the first thing we see. God uses absolutely weak things, base things. Now here's the second thing. God does this conquering through the gospel. He does this conquering through His Word. Now look at Judges 7. Judges 7. "Then Zerubbabel," who is Gideon, that's who we're talking about, "and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon," now these people who were with him, this army that's with him, we're going to see here, this is a type of the believers united together, fighting under the immediate direction of Christ Jesus, the captain of our warfare. Gideon's a picture of Christ, and these that he's using are a picture of his people. Now watch this. Verse 2. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, boast themselves against me, saying, My own hand has saved me." Now, Israel here represents the children of God. Israel is the seed of God. His true Israel, His spiritual Israel, they're the people He's chosen. They're out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven. Jew and Gentile, bond or free, male or female, rich or poor. God has chosen a people for Himself, and He's put them in Christ Jesus, His Son. But God's going to save His Israel He's going to save them through Christ Jesus, through His blood, through His righteousness, and He's going to make sure, He's going to see to it, He's going to make certain that every child of God, every child of Israel, every son of Jacob that He saves, He's going to make sure we know God did it all. God did all the saving, lest we boast ourselves and say, I did this with mine own hand. In the Lord, the Scripture says, shall all the seed of Israel, all the children of Israel, all the sons of God be justified, and in the Lord shall they glory. They're going to boast in Him. He said through Jeremiah, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. And He said, and that's what my people are going to say. And they're going to bless themselves in Him. They're going to make themselves happy nowhere else but in Him, in the Lord of truth, of judgment, of righteousness, the true and living God. And He says, and they're going to glory in Him. Now, the Lord whittles this army down, and He uses two kinds of trial, and then there's a third trial here in this too, we can see. But let's look at this. The first trial was through a proclamation. And the greater part, 22,000, went away at the word which the Lord told Gideon to speak. Verse 3. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people. That's what this is. We're proclaiming in the ears of the people. This is the gospel. We're proclaiming in the ears of the people. And He says, say, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000 that went away through this word that the Lord said declare, 22,000 went away. I was thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6. Look over there real with me. John chapter 6. He was preaching. This is the gospel preaching the gospel. This is Christ who is the Word preaching the Word. This is Christ, the truth, preaching the truth. And He said in that, He was preaching to them and He was telling them that He's the bread, He's the manna, He's the life. And they had been following Him outwardly. And He said to them, He said that in verse 63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. He said, the words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. But He said to them, there's some of you that believe not. For He knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore I said unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given to him of the Father. And they heard these things. And it says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. You know how this came about? Just the Word preaching the Word through the proclamation of the gospel. But watch this. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words. You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, the proclamation is life unto life to some and death unto others. The majority went back at the proclamation of this word. Now look at this second trial. The second trial, the Lord said, I will try them. Now in this, we're going to see something very interesting. Watch this. Judges 7:4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. He only had 10,000 left with him, up against millions. And the Lord said, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and, now listen to this, I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Now, I've looked at these two things for years and tried to figure out, okay, what's the significance in the way these two groups drank from this water? What's the significance that made one be able, forgetting to take them with him, and the other group for him not to take them with him? And I've read every commentary I can find on it, and every one of them says something different about the character of these men and about the something about them by the way they drank and by the way they came up to this water and did these things. And everybody's at odds about it. Nobody can seem to come up with and figure out, by looking at how these men drank this water, who it was, why it was in them and the way they drank that God chose who he did. Nobody could figure it out. And sometimes the answer is right in front of us, isn't it? That's the point. That's the very point. The Lord said, Gideon, I'm going to tell you. The Lord said, set this over here and this over here. The Lord said. And the point is, you and I can't tell who the Lord's chosen by looking at them. We can't tell who the Lord's chosen by how they're drinking. We can't tell who the Lord's chosen by looking at these men. We just can't. And the Lord's teaching us that he's the one who puts a difference between Egypt and Israel. He's the one who chooses whom he will and passes by whom he will. He's the one who says to his people, who maketh thee to differ? What do you have that you didn't receive? If you received it, wherein, what room do you have to boast of anything as if you did anything to receive it? Well, let's see this. Here's the third trial I see in this. It's the trial of faith. Gideon, the Lord didn't tell Gideon which group he was going to choose. He didn't tell him that. And can you picture if you're sitting there, Gideon, and you're seeing these people and they're drank two different ways, and the Lord said, now put this group over here and this group over here, and you've put them there, and there's 10,000 over here that drank this way, and there's 300 over here that drank this way. Which one are you hoping that God's going to pick? Verse 6, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that dipped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Send them home. Now here is an amazing thing. Look at this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Though we hope against hope, though all looks like there's no way we can go up against millions, there's no way we could, there's no way our sin could be conquered, but God says it is. We look at ourselves and think, there's no way God's going to receive me and say, I've satisfied the law. But in Christ, he says, I have. We look at ourselves and we say, there's no way God's going to receive this worm. And he says, in my beloved, I've perfected you forever. We look at all the enemies round about us and we think, there's no way. We hope against hope. We're fully persuaded that what God's promised, He's able also to perform. And look at what this verse 8 says. So the people took, I can't pronounce that, in their hand and their trumpets, and He sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. Gideon and those men said, we're going into battle. The Lord sent us, we believe Him. We're going in. All right, now all of this that we're looking at is teaching us, brethren, that God's child, His servants, His witnesses, those He calls, those He uses to spread His gospel, we have no strength in ourselves. God chooses foolish and base things. But through this gospel, through the gospel of Christ alone, through which He made Christ the power and wisdom of God unto us, the same way we receive this mercy through the Word, we go forth with no other weapon but the gospel, and by this one way God's chosen, Christ the Lord, through faith, by grace, through His preaching of His gospel, God draws His people, He saves His people, and He conquers all our enemies. And we don't get any glory, God gets all the glory. Now let's see this victory by the gospel of Christ. I want to read this to you, verse 16. And He divided the 300 men into three companies, three divisions of them. And He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps or lights within the pitchers. So you got the pitcher, you got the pitcher of these pitchers. You have these pitchers and you have lamps in these pitchers. And they got trumpets in their hands. Now when these lights are in these pitchers, you can't see the light. It's hidden in there. They're going up to where these soldiers are, and they're not marching up there with fire burning. They're going up there right up to where the Lord has told them to go. And so here they are. And He said unto them, verse 16, look on Me. This is what Christ said. Look on Me. Look on Me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow you the trumpets also on every side of all the camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So here you got these three camps on each side. And they got the trumpets, and they got these pitchers, and they got these lamps and these pitchers. Hidden in these pitchers. And He said, when you hear Me blow the trumpet, He said, you do the same. So Gideon, verse 19. And the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. These guards are watching down there in the camp of the enemy. And they blew the trumpets. And they broke those pitchers that were in their hands. And when they broke those pitchers, now the light's shining. And you can picture this. You got 100 men, but now you got all this light shining. And this trumpet's blowing. And this shouting going on. And all these shadows, you can picture the shadows all over the shining from those lamps and from those that light's making. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow with them. And they were all crying, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That's what I'm crying this morning. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. The sword of the Lord God and His Gideon, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sword. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. All these enemies did. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. These men turned their swords on themselves. They were so in such chaos and disarray down there in the enemy's camp. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zerath and to the border of to all those different places. Now, how was that victory won? Look over at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. This victory was won through a light. That light is Christ who we preach. Christ, the one who has perfected forever His people by His one offering. It was done through a trumpet and a shout. The gospel preached. Preaching won't save anybody, and not just any preaching will save anybody. It's got to be the trumpet being blown. It's got to be the gospel being preached, the truth of how God saves sinners. And a broken vessel, that's the sinner God uses. The light won't ever be seen till the vessel broke. Before that light shined forth, the vessel in which that light was had to be broken. Had to be broken. That's what the message of this whole thing's been about. Lest the children of Israel glory in themselves and say, "I did it." Lest we brag on ourselves and say, "Well, we did it. We did it." Verse 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Just pitchers. Just broken pots. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul said, "I preach to you this gospel, not persuasively, not in wisdom of word, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The cross, Christ, the means, the way, the preaching, everything about it's foolishness. But to us who are saved, it's the wisdom of God, the power of God, Christ, the Word, the Gospel, the power and wisdom of God. And God's chosen these base things, that no flesh will glory in His presence. Amen.